Good morning. This is Lisa Nyberg from We Say Go Travel, and I'm so honored to be here today with Darlie Newman. Hi, Darlie.
Hi, Lisa. Good to see you
Oh my
again
gosh.
in a
Again,
short
I
amount
know
of time.
in a short amount of time, we've been so lucky to be together in real life in Los Angeles, in New York. Who knows where we're going to meet up next besides here on the internet?
Maybe Turkey
Oh my
A.
goodness. Well, I hope to go with you there. I know. Congratulations, first of all, on 10 seasons with your PBS show. That's really incredible.
Thank you. I know it's been, we've done a lot of episodes now, 59 half hours. So a lot of, I think I've written a lot of scripts. Darling travels. Yeah.
It's really impressive. I mean, congratulations. I'm just to even get started at all, let alone to get to 59 episodes. So tell people, I know that you've done a lot of different things with video, with production, with travel. Tell people a little bit about how did you get on this path? Because you definitely, I'm sure people come up to you all the time and say, you have my dream job.
Oh my gosh, totally. And you know, it is a dream job. It's a lot of work, but I love it. I mean, I figure if I'm going to be working every day anyway, I might as well work on something I love and get to travel. That's really why I started the series. Caught the travel bug early and I wanted to try to see the world and thought, well, if I have to be in an office every day, how am I going to go out there and see the world? You know, I don't want to wait till I retire. I want to do it now. So I came up with the idea for my first series on PBS, which was Equitrekking, which I did 35 half hours of and went horseback riding all around the world and learned so much doing that series and really felt like the theme of what I was doing there is similar to what I'm doing now. We're traveling with locals and getting those insights from people who live in the destination. So that's what I do with Travels with Darlie. And now we've been everywhere from Los Angeles to Little Rock, Arkansas. I've done Turkey A and Istanbul and France and a lot of different places, but doing that local perspective on, you know, what it is like to really live there and be there, and also the history and culture, and of course the food, because food is so important in life in general.
You really have covered so many places, but say a little bit more about how you first caught the travel bug. Like, did someone in your family take you on an adventure, or did a teacher teach, like, did you get the bug in school, or you read a book? How did it happen?
So I've always been really curious about things in general, and I was asking why, but I was able to take a trip in high school. I actually went with my friend's family on a European cruise, and it was amazing. It was a smaller cruise ship, it was luxurious. We went to France, we went to Italy, we went to Greece, and I'd never been to Europe before. And I was in ninth grade, and it was just a really life-changing. The food was amazing, and the architecture, the history, and I thought, wow. And I'm just seeing Europe for the first time. I had been to like Mexico and Caribbean, but not, I hadn't been to Europe before. And I thought there's a whole world out there that I would love to experience and see. And I mean, not even just in Europe. I mean, I went on to go to Asia and other places, but I really caught the travel bug then. I'd had a couple trips like with my family to do different adventures, but getting to go to Italy and, you know, try Neapolitan pizza in Naples for the first time and seeing all the ruins in Greece, I was like, wow, this is something that I really need to experience. And I'm enjoying learning so much more about other cultures as I get to these places. So yeah, that's how I kind of got started. It was just being invited on a trip and saying, can I go? Yes. Okay, wonderful.
Well, you know what's funny is that's actually a lot of how I also got started. I went on a cruise in the Mediterranean with my family and saw a lot of the similar things.
Gosh, okay.
Yeah, and of course I went on to work on the ship, and you went on and so were you horseback riding as a child? Is that how you got started with equitrekking?
Yeah, so I actually started horseback riding at summer camp. I mean, one of the things I loved going to camps as a kid is you could try so many different things. I was doing archery and karate and theater and painting and pottery. But horseback riding was an activity that I just really gravitated towards. And being able to learn at a young age, I was 6 years old. I was one of the youngest campers there and in the mountains of North Carolina, and just really fell in love with being outside on a horse and getting that, you know, I mean, I'm sure the mountain air and the beautiful scenery didn't hurt, but I mean, there's something just special about exploring on a horse and being with horses in general, and they have just such a different demeanor. And everyone always says that horses really reveal a lot about you when you interact with them. And I think that's been really true. And I've seen that more and more as I've gotten those experiences, because I do horseback riding adventures now with Travels with Darley as well. And I've done a lot of like stuff on the ground, like groundwork with horses and also riding. And it's just such an amazing experience. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, that is all incredible. And so I'm curious, since you started so young, people always ask me, you know, what could possibly still be on your bucket list? So I know that you still have a lot on your bucket list, because and the more places you go, the more places you see. So where are some of the adventures you really want to still tackle?
I definitely want to do more travel within Asia. I haven't been to Thailand yet. I got to go to Cambodia, which was an amazing trip, but Thailand would be on my list, not only because I love to eat Thai food, and I think I'll love to go over to Thailand and try some more authentic Thai cuisine, but because I hear such great and fascinating things about Thailand, that's definitely on my list. More of Asia in general. I would love to venture throughout South America a bit more. I've done Uruguay, but getting over to Argentina, I think, would be really fascinating. And of course, they've got a great horse culture there, wonderful outdoor scenery. So I think just experiencing more of these different things. Antarctica might be on my list, but it's not as high as, you know, a lot of people are going to Antarctica right now and doing these expedition cruises, which is a bucket list item for so many people. I think I would like to do that, but I have a lot of other places that are a bit higher ranking right now. So hopefully I can juggle my schedule to get to all of them, or at least figure out some film trips to these spots.
Well, and it's so amazing. How do you pick? Like, I know season 10 has amazing things, like you were in the sidecar and sometimes you were in costume and you flew in the treetops. Like, how do you figure out what's going in the next season? Like, are you already working on season 11, or how does that work?
I am. So I'm always looking for something distinctive in the destinations now. It started really a couple of years ago when I did this year where I did some really extreme adventure activities. I did the world's highest commercial bungee. I swam with sharks in Dubai. I did the world's highest commercial climbing wall in Reno, Nevada. Every place I went, I was kind of, I don't know, I feel like the adventure started to seek me out, because then people heard I was doing these adventures and then they would say, you know, you can do a zip line roller coaster in the eastern townships of Quebec, which is what I just did on this recent season, which was really fun, actually. And also cycling through the trees. So there's a lot of unique things out there if you start to look in different locations. So I definitely look for those when I'm planning a new season. And then I always intertwine. I'm looking for more exotic foods and interesting foods now too, that have a story behind them. I mean, I feel like anything that has a good story can be fodder for great travel adventures. And a lot of those places are open to the public and accessible. And those are places I look to profile, because as you know, people want to watch and go to those places, whether they're looking at your podcast or hearing about it on my show. It's something that they can go and recreate. And I think that's what makes it really cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. Always, I love the, you know, that you were in costume in Quebec and the cycle car. I think it does make such good television moments. And I like that you're looking for stuff people can go and do. Because sometimes people say to me, oh, you know, I did I don't know if you've done the edge walk at the CN Tower in Toronto.
And so I haven't done that yet, no.
Well, unfortunately, the day that I was there was raining, but they still go in the rain. It's canceled for lightning. But I like what you said about adventure searches you out, because when I was just in New York at the conference with you, someone said to me, oh, have you done the city climb? So I did the skyscraper climb in New York. I don't know if you've done it yet.
No, is that over the edge or which
yeah,
one?
Yeah,
is
yeah,
that?
At the edge, yeah, in Hudson, yeah. Yards. We should have gone together. That would have been so fun.
We should have. That would have been awesome.
Next time I come, we'll do an adventure.
I love it.
I agree with you. It's important to find adventure. And so what do you say to people who are, you know, see your adventures and say, like, I could never do that? Like, what would your advice be to people who want to take a bigger step to being a bit more brave?
Well, of course, everything is personal. So, I mean, something that I would do, someone else may not do, and vice versa. But I think it's important to sometimes get out of your comfort zone, whether that's going on a trip to France to try to learn the language. And that might be a true adventure. And it is, that's super adventure. Or going to take a cooking class somewhere. Those are all things that are you know, it's so personal, but I think stepping out of your comfort zone once in a while is really good for you, because it's amazing how much it teaches you about yourself. I mean, and about other people in the world. I was surprised at how emotional I got after I did the bungee. Even during it, it was really an emotional experience. And I thought it would just be scary and adventurous, and, you know, I'd be filled with adrenaline, but it really made, well, probably because my life flashed before my eyes. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Oh my gosh. Wait, it was the first time you ever did a bungee.
It was my first time bungee jumping. And
you did the highest one?
It's in the Guinness Book of World Records, and you go off of the Macau Tower. So it is an actual tower with concrete and a city beneath you. So it's not like you're in New Zealand and there's water beneath you. So it's a bit, it's really, and you're going with your arms out, kind of, you go face first, and it's pretty intense. I mean, it's super intense. I don't know if I could do it again. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I did it. I did it. Like, it was intense. My adrenaline was I can't even tell you, the whole rest of the day I was jacked up. I was like, what are we doing next? What are we doing next? I was like,
Well, I think that's good for people to hear, because I think that, you know, there's a perception that you're not afraid of anything and you just do everything. And that's not true for any of us. And, you know, I tell people I still get lost. I still get confused. You know, I book sometimes, I have a flight delay. Like everybody has the same kind of drama with travel. It's not, we don't have like secret superpowers. But
no, I mean, and it's all about your perspective on things. Like, I did know that that was relatively safe. It's pretty safe to do that. The bungee, like, I wasn't so worried that I was really going to die, but, you know, but then when you're doing the jump, you're like, let me be very focused on this, because I do, you know, want to follow the instructions properly so I don't hurt myself. But yeah.
But that's another good point that, for people listening or watching, that we are not doing stuff, unattended. We're going to places that have safety rating, like at City Climb, the two cables they said could hold two rhinoceros. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I weigh less than one rhinoceros, so I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And that we're not going, you know, it's not like somebody's got like a piece of twine and we're jumping off a building. This is things that we feel are good risks.
They are good risks. And again, it is, you know, it's something that when you're in a location and you can do that adventure and it's not in that many other places, or it's really nowhere else, then it does make it special. And that's why I kind of say yes to a lot of those things, because I think, oh, when else am I going to be here and get this opportunity? And you know, I've made it to this place far, far away from my homeland. Like, let's just dive in. Like, yeah, let's do it.
And so what about, are you when you're out and about, is everything sort of planned in advance, or are you seeing what you find with locals? What's your style?
So most things, when I'm filming for the show, my Travels with Darlie show, I'm doing a lot of stuff that's planned, but a lot of stuff does come up that's just not planned, because that's the nature of travel. That's the nature of the weather changing, and, you know, somebody getting sick that you're with. And I went in Hong Kong, I ended up at the Hong Kong doctor, a medicinal doctor, and buying herbs with my, you know, location fixer guy who was sick, and he wanted to go to that doctor. So I got that whole experience of what is it like to go to the Chinese doctor. And he actually checked me out and prescribed some herbs for me to help me sleep better when I'm traveling. And I thought, wow. And we filmed it and we put it in the show. So that was totally unplanned. So a lot of the food stuff can be unplanned too. I was just in New Mexico at the International Folk Art Market, and I'm seeing this sign in the distance for New Mexico's state cookie, the official state cookie of New Mexico. Of course, we have to do that while we're there. We pass up New Mexico's state cookie. And the family who started the business was there. The whole family was there. So it was a great opportunity to meet them and hear the story. And we filmed that too. So a lot of stuff is definitely planned, but a lot comes up that is just fun and interesting when you're in a new location and you can see it and experience it.
And what's the New Mexico state cookie like?
Oh, it's called the Bisco Cheeto. And in different parts of the state, they actually say it and pronounce it differently. But it's almost like a shortbread cookie, but they do all of these different iterations of it. So you can get one that's like a spicy jalapeno and a cheesy one. And there are all these different ingredients that go into it. But it's a recipe that's pretty old in New Mexico. And it comes over, I think, originally from the Spanish who came over that way. So there's a lot of history behind it and a lot of fun fodder around the legends attached to it and all that stuff. And meeting the family who got it into legislation and legislated as New Mexico's official state cookie. I was like, these people are dedicated to that cookie. So no better place to try it.
Oh my gosh, that's what an incredible moment. And in New Mexico, didn't you also do some pottery?
So I actually did pottery in this season in Cappadocia in Turkey, in Turkey. Oh. And I was out with the Einstein of pottery. And that's another one where I knew I was going to do a pottery segment in Avanos and go to Cappadocia, which is known for its pottery. But I didn't know that I would get to have him on camera because we didn't know his availability. So sometimes you're just lucky and, you know, it works out. And with today's schedules, it's hard to, you know, sometimes get people that you want to be there. So I was lucky to have him. And his name's Shay Gallup. And he's really well known throughout the world and has his awesome studio there. And they do workshops and classes. And he's trained a lot of female potters. And pottery was traditionally male oriented in Turkey. And now a lot more women are doing it because they've come to Avanos and learned the craft there. So I thought that was a neat story. And that's how he met his wife. She was there trying to learn pottery. They ended up getting married, having kids, and she helps with the family business. So I got a little bit of a lesson with him, even though I'm not great at pottery. I hadn't done it since I was a child at my summer camp experience, where I told him I was adept at making ashtrays because none of mine turned out properly. So they were always like, what are you going to do with this?
Oh my goodness. Wow. I also do pottery. So I saw that picture and I was like, oh my gosh, I really want to do that. It's just something so special to like take mud and make art. And I'm so glad you got to do that.
It was really interesting, Lisa. I think you would like it because also the clay there is really special. It has a mix of volcanic soil and they go get different soil from the mountains and they mix it. And when they add the water, he held it up to my ear and I could hear it almost crackling. It was almost like pop rocks in the mud. And it has like a different consistency. So it's pretty interesting to be able to work with it. And that's one of the reasons why the pottery there is so unique and special.
Well, I can certainly see why you've had so many episodes and so many Emmy Awards, because you just exude the excitement about the place. And I know I really want to go, and I bet everyone else wants to go. So can people travel with you? Do you do groups, or how do they find you?
So, I mean, no, you can't travel with me yet, though. I've done some special things where people have won the opportunity to come on some of our filming adventures, and I might do some stuff coming up. So stay tuned about that. But for right now, I'm mostly traveling and connecting with people on social media. I'm doing a lot of live streams as I travel, which I think is fun. So on Facebook, and then I also work with Smithsonian Associates, and I live stream out about destinations. I do it when I'm traveling. I just did one from Bordeaux over the summer, and Colorado, I did one. So I'm just on location going live and sharing it out on different platforms, and people follow along and get to interact. And that's where you really never know what's going to happen, because not only can the technology fail, but you know, you're just out in the world. And we were walking through Bordeaux down the promenade bound by the water. And you know, we're just literally on a live stream. I was there with one of my friends who's French, and we were like, let's just go live. So we had it planned out, but you can't really plan everything for that either. That was definitely an adventure.
Oh my goodness. So tell us more about what's happening with Smithsonian. You're doing lectures, or?
I do. I've been doing a series where I do a deep dive into different locations. I just did one on Bordeaux. And I'm on for like an hour and a half teaching about the place and sharing my tips for what you might want to do when you're there, insider information. And I bring on live guests a lot of times who are experts from different, their tour guides, or They have a knowledge of the history. When I did Quebec, I actually brought on the guide that I used in Quebec City when I got dressed up, because you can take his tour and he does these different festivals and he'll bring a costume for you to dress up. So you can be historically accurate when you're walking around. And it was really fun. I mean, I have to say, I looked a bit ridiculous, but I really—
No, you didn't look ridiculous. I saw a picture. I thought you looked super cute.
I enjoyed the experience. I was like, sure, I'll wear that outfit, like, walk around. And I was walking around Quebec City, and it was so funny because we were standing out anyway because we were filming this. So we have our cameras going. But this woman was yelling at me from Petite Champlain, which is one of the famous shopping streets. And she called out my name, and I looked over, and it was a girlfriend from college that I haven't seen in like 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
She recognized me, and she was there with her family on vacation. So it was fun to reconnect. But wow. She might not have seen me if I hadn't been in costume and or filming, but I feel like if you're going to like be in a costume, people might like say hi to you. So yeah.
Oh my goodness. No, it's really impressive. I know. So you've been to 85 nations. Is that right?
So my show has been broadcast in 85 nations.
Oh, your show has been broadcast in 85 nations.
I've been to a lot of destinations, and I have to go back and do like a proper recount, but I've been to like, but most of the, a lot of the US. I do a lot of the US. If you watch any of both series, I mean, I continue to do, I just did Delaware as a state. I've done North Dakota, Alaska, I've done New Mexico a couple of times. So I've been to a lot of US destinations, but, and I'm trying to hit as many of those as possible, because I think sometimes people overlook what's right here. Especially we learned that during the pandemic. I think everyone started to travel more in their own areas or close to home, and also
absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it's important to do. And I'm looking forward to continuing to get to new states that I may have been to before myself, but then to film them, I think it's great to share that content and information with other people.
Well, I mean, I'm ready to go travel with you. It sounds like you've done so many. We should do a show together. It'd be so fun. But and I will put a picture. You could find us if you're watching this, or with video or without video. You could find it the other way, and we'll put up the picture. One time when Darlie and I were together in Los Angeles, we showed up wearing basically the exact same outfit. So we'll add that picture because that was so funny. But tell everybody if they want more, which of course they do. Where can they watch your show, and how can they get connected with you?
Yeah, you can watch Travels with Darlie on your local PBS station. It's on Create TV, which is a PBS lifestyle channel. It's also on Ovation TV's Journey, which gets it onto like all the apps through their own apps, Samsung TV, Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire. And then you can, sounds like your podcast. And then you can also, when I looked at your list, I was like, wow. And then I'm also on social media doing a lot of lives and content through at Darlie Newman, and then Facebook at Travels with Darlie.
And we'll have all the links in the show notes, and it'll be on We Said Go Travel. So get connected. And is there a live stream schedule? Maybe not.
I'm actually doing Turkey A coming up in the middle of this month. And then I'll have more to come because I start filming again next month. So I'll be on the road throughout the next year. I think I'm on the road pretty consistently, and I'll be live streaming out as I go as well.
Can you give us a hint of where you're going, or is this a secret?
I'm going back to Alabama. I had done two episodes on the civil rights trail there 2 years ago, and I'm going back to focus in on food. When I was there, I got to eat some of the world's best barbecue, I think, in Selma, Alabama, but I'm going back to cover food throughout the state and do some other adventure activities too. And then I'm going to Louisiana, and I'm going to be doing a lot along the East Coast, right from my home area of New York and beyond. So it should be an interesting season.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. So one thing I'm putting on your bucket list is to do a cooking class in Thailand, because I think that you would love it. And also just to say the most giant thank you. It was so great to see you recently in New York, and I hope everyone will watch your show everywhere and follow you on social media. So thank you, Darlie Newman, Travels with Darlie, and we'll say Kap Khun Kha, because we're sending you good thoughts to go to Thailand. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.